Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
God really has a word for you in the Word this evening, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. And so I trust that your heart's open. If you haven't been receiving the devotional, it's now online. It's not printed. It's much easier. It saves me a lot of time. And there's a clipboard at the back there, along with the other clipboards for the men's camp and the all the other things, the mission trip. And you can just go put up your email address there. Some people who have signed up, I've heard a couple different sources, haven't received their emails. I don't know what MailChimp does. It's a chimp. And so sometimes it doesn't send the mail. But what does happen is, for some reason, you might not get it if you don't sign up yourself. Then go onto our main webpage. You'll see Shane's blog, a little block there. Click on Shane's blog, and you'll see all the posts from the past couple of weeks, so you can read them. And at the end of each post, I say, if you want to receive this email, this devotional in your email inbox, click here. Then click there, follow the links, put your email address in, and you'll get it. Easy, huh? I really just feel on my heart, as before we even get into the Word, that now, there's a couple of you here this evening, you felt, you're coming here, you feel like you've got chains on you and that things are holding you down. And there's others, you're feeling like your hearts are just completely wounded and broken and just have been negatively impacted by circumstances or by people. And I believe that the Lord says to you this evening that there's He wants you to, the Word is going to bring freedom in your life. And you need to just be in a position to receive that freedom which He's got for you. It's going to come in the form of a word, not a magic wand. And as you receive the word, just grab hold of that key which you hear in the message and just take it to heart, meditate on it, and allow it to just take root. Thank you, Father. Amen. Great. So we're busy with the Rain and Life series, and it's good to be back with you guys this week. Last week, Marna and myself and the boys were up in Standerton to do a wedding in Gauteng, and it's always good to be back home. It was Enrica and Joseph. Enrica was with us for a while, and now she's married someone who's wasn't part of Grace Life, but is part of us because he's listened to all the teachings and Enrica made him listen to. And it was really just a privilege to do their wedding. It was really special. But we're continuing on with the series, and if you've been reading the devotionals, I got into a bit of the armor of God, and that's what we're going to be getting into over the next couple of weeks. And so I'm entitling the next couple of weeks, starting tonight, Ready for Battle. So we've got the scriptures up on the screen, which we'll get to in a moment. But first I just want to read and say, imagine a young man getting enlisted to the army. He arrives on his first day, gets his uniform, gets his weapons, and gets dropped off in the Middle East. In the center of a major war. He's a soldier. He hasn't had any training. He has weapons, but he doesn't have a clue how to use them properly. He's in a war, but he doesn't know who his enemy is, nor does he know of any strategy or mission to follow. He's doomed for defeat, right? Completely doomed. I wouldn't want to be that guy. But sadly, this is how most Christians are. If you think about it. Many, many believers are like this. They get saved. And they've been in a spiritual battle up until that point, and they just had some kind of victory because they received the word. But now, the battle just intensified because they're a believer, and they don't, are either ignorant of it, but they're definitely not prepared for it. Okay? Then they get a Bible, they hardly study it, and they probably struggle to understand it because nobody's teaching them it properly. They have armor, they have weapons for battle, but they don't understand it, or they're ignorant of the weapons and the armor. They're doomed for defeat, right? That's how many Christians are. You might have been like it. I was like that for many years. Didn't understand the word, didn't understand things. And, my purpose behind the pulpit, through the devotionals, through the resources we have, Bible school, whatever, as a ministry, our purpose, my purpose is for us to be a training ground for you so that you can reign in life and not be like that soldier who doesn't have a clue. You know, life is hard. Life can be tough. Things do go wrong, and you need to know how to deal with those things. If you don't, you're going to, the devil's going to just pop you. You know, he's going to run circles around you if you don't understand anything. You know, I grew up scared of the devil. You know, I heard stories about people having encounters with the devil and stuff, and I was one of those guys who was kind of, Lord, please don't let that happen to me. Now I'm like, why doesn't anything like that happen to me? Because I understand that I've got more authority over him. You know, and I know his fate. So, you know, my purpose tonight especially is really just to start helping to train you to be all that God created you to be in understanding who you are and understanding what you've got to be able to be successful in this life, in reigning in life, in spiritual warfare specifically. Because we're in a spiritual battle, right? It's not a natural battle. But most of us are ignorant of the fact that it's a spiritual battle, and we're dealing with the battle in the natural, not in the spiritual. So take a look with me, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Okay, so this says that you're in a battle. And whether you know it or not, whether you accept it or not, you are in a battle. Okay? Even if you deny the battle, you're in the battle. Okay? You're foolish if you deny the battle. But you're in the battle. It's not going to prevent you from being in the battle. And this scripture shows us it's a spiritual battle. It's not a natural battle. Okay? Many of us wrongly believe that our battle is against difficult people in our lives. A lot of Christians are ignorant of the devil. Go get the teaching Revelation of Satan. It will bless you. We had fun with that one. But the point is that most people are ignorant that it's a spiritual battle, and when people attack us, when people come against us, we attack the people back, or we deal with the people. We're always dealing with fruit. We hardly deal with the roots of issues. Okay? You know, you experience lack. You know, we kind of look at the fruit of lack and we deal with the fruit of lack. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Instead of dealing with the root of it, we deal with the fruit of it. Okay? Instead of dealing with it spiritually, we deal with things and naturally. You know, visas get denied and things like that. In Albania, they went through a long process where, you know, government officials were just unwilling to help them get their permanent visas or whatever residency to be able to stay in Albania and have a church. Plant a church to reach and help the community and all of this. There isn't a church in the area, and they were struggling to get the visas. But even when I went into the visa offices in Albania with one of our leaders there, there was always kind of this open opportunity for us to be able to just pay some money and get our visas. Not legally, but that's why they were just difficult, because they wanted us to do something about it. But that's not God's way, so we didn't do that. And they've got their permanent residency now, which is awesome. But the point is that we don't deal with things naturally by coming against the people or complaining to their superior or whatever. I mean, you can do that. It's not wrong. But what did we do? We prayed. We dealt with it spiritually. We dealt with the root of it. Because it's not the people, it's the forces. The scripture shows us that it's the forces at work behind the people. Okay, there's forces at work behind people which are making you upset. Okay, people are never your enemy. Okay, I think you need to write that down, some of you. People are not your enemy. The people who are frustrating you, making your life difficult, are not your enemy. Okay, here's a scriptural example, Acts 9. "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and relentless in his search for believers, went to the high priest and he asked for letters of authority from him to the synagogues at Damascus, if he found any men or women belonging to the way, believers, followers of the Messiah, of Jesus the Messiah, men and women alike, he could arrest them and bring them bound with chains to Jerusalem." So basically, Saul was persecuting the church. He was mean. Okay, he wasn't their friend. He was an enemy of the church. He was attacking them. He was arresting them legally, because he believed that they were blasphemous, that they were against God. Okay, he thought he was doing God a service. Okay, and then what happened? In the middle of all of that, he has an encounter with Jesus, a miraculous conversion. Saul becomes Paul, who is a leader and a pillar in the church, writes 2/3 of the New Testament, and gives us the New Testament, like a very great and deep revelation of grace and all of this. And yet he was an enemy at first, and now he's family. And so we need to remember that the people attacking us and being mean to us, it's just a spiritual force at work behind them, and it could end up being family for us. Okay, now sometimes I do know that it's believers who are the worst out there. Okay? And in those cases, pray for them anyway, because they're allowing the influence of the devil in their life to come through them towards you. The devil will use believer or non-believer alike. Some of you need to stop letting the devil use you. Don't turn to your neighbor and tell them. Okay? Don't tell anyone that they should stop letting the devil use them. Just tell them, you know, give them a bump on the shoulder or something. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. This is what happened to Paul. It was a dramatic conversion from the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, into the power and kingdom of Jesus. This is what happens to us when we get born again, and this is what can happen to the people who are making your life terrible. They can come out of the influence of the devil, and they can come into the influence of God. But even a Christian needs to allow that influence to saturate them and to work through them and to flow through them. Okay, the love of God doesn't flow through you just because you said, in the name of Jesus, amen, and you became a Christian. Okay? The love of God flows through you when you allow it. Okay? So, Jesus' instructions on how to deal with difficult people are really important. Now remember, we're in a spiritual battle. So Jesus' instructions on how to deal with difficult people is counterculture, which means most of us probably won't like it. You'll come up with some reasoning as to why we shouldn't do it like that. Okay. Now when I read the scriptures, you're going to love it. And I know some of you are going to come up with reasons why we don't do that. Okay. And I've exposed you before you expose yourself. Okay. So just think about that. But you know, we often get into the situation where we respond to difficult people with anger, or we try and get even with them. Then we play into the enemy's hand, and we empower him by following his strategy. Okay, and then he runs circles around us. But you know, when we do respond to difficult people with anger or trying to get even with them, it's not going to work anything good, ever. You know, the next scripture there, James 1:20 says, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So when we're angry and we unleash our anger on people, it's not going to produce anything godly. If you want the demons influencing other people around you and affecting you, if you want them to run in terror, then turn the other cheek. Because that's what Jesus said. You know why that's, let's read the scripture and then I'll comment on it. But Matthew 5 verse 39 says, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also." Okay, so you know what this does? Is it freaks the demons out. Because for most of us, if someone walks up to us and hits us, you know, everything rises up within us and we want to hit them back, right? I was expecting maybe an amen or two, but I'm really glad that you guys are holier than I am. And, so then what happens is if we actually turn the other cheek when people are persecuting us, attacking us and all of this, the demons just freak out because they don't know what you're doing. They think you're nuts. Some of you think that this idea is nuts, but this is what Jesus said. Matthew 5:43-44, he says, "You've heard that it was said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Jesus' way of dealing with difficult people is counterculture. If someone's coming at you in hatred, we need to counter that by working in the opposite spirit. They're coming in the spirit of hatred and anger, spirit of the devil. And you come at them with love, with the spirit of God. You know, someone who's just attacking you, just love on them. Be a blessing to them. You'll see their hearts change. Or their heart, because they only got one. You'll see their heart change. Okay? If it's many people, I suppose, then it's heart. But if you want to reign in life, then you need to identify who the real enemy is. It's not your wife, it's not your husband, it's not your boyfriend, it's not your girlfriend, it's not your mother, it's not your father. It's not your teacher, your lecturer, it's not the bank manager, it's not whoever you think it is, your boss, it's not the person sitting next to you on either side. You know, the enemy, the real enemy is the demonic force at influencing them. to make your life difficult. Okay? Now, there are situations where it's not always demonic, let me just say. It might just be that they're making bad decisions, or you're making bad decisions, and as a result, you're hitting resistance. So there's that possibility. But we're talking about the spiritual battle here. And we need to know it's a spiritual battle if we want to be victorious and overcome. We need to know what our weapons of warfare are, and we need to know that they're not physical. That it's not something you can club someone with, but that it's something that you deal with in the spirit. Okay? God's ways are not our ways, they're higher than our ways, which means we might not understand why we should do something, but we should do it. And I believe this is a word for someone this evening. You're facing a difficult situation or challenging situation, and you're kind of wanting to deal with it in a natural way, but you know what the Lord is saying to you, and you know how you should deal with it, and I want to encourage you, if you'd go with God's way, it'll work out better than you expect. I don't know what the situation is, but I can guarantee you, if you follow God's way, it'll work out better than you expect. If you think about lack, I spoke about it earlier, how does the world respond to lack? And some Christians, we hoard. There's lack in our lives, financial lack. And what do? There's an economic crisis. What do? We look out for number one. we hold on to everything we've got. And so now we're going to be self-centered. We're going to hoard. We might even steal. Maybe in a legitimate way. But you know what I mean? We're kind of looking out for ourselves and not for the interests of others. And Philippians says that we shouldn't look out for our own interests, but for the interests of others as well. So then we're being self-centered. You know, we'll do well to remember in a situation where we're being attacked with lack, where there's a financial pressure, that we're not engaged in a physical battle. You know, if you are just responding to physical attacks and natural attacks in a natural or physical way, then you're foolish because the root is spiritual. And if we do, even if the you can figure out how the root isn't spiritual, spirit trumps natural. So if you deal with it spiritually, you'll deal with it naturally. Deal with the root, you deal with the fruit. Okay, so when we're in an economic crisis, one of the ways that frustrates the plan of the enemy is to give. And usually in economic crisis, one of the first things that most Christians do is stop their giving. And I'm not doing this to try and get you to give because we've already taken the offering. Amen? But the point is that giving is good for us. And it just freaks the devil out because what are you doing? You know what giving does is it declares that you are trusting God. Because yes, everyone can do with that however much money you're giving. We can all use that money that we would give away. But by giving it, we're saying, I believe, you know, thank you, Father. I'm giving to you out of the generosity in my heart, and I know that you're going to look after me. 2 Corinthians 8:2-4 says in the Living Bible, though they have been going through much trouble and hard times, they have mixed their wonderful joy with their deep poverty, and the result has been an overflow of giving to others, generosity. They gave not only what they could afford, but far more. They were generous. And I can testify, this is Paul writing, I can testify that they did not, or so that they did it because they wanted to and not because of nagging on my part. They begged us to take the money so that they could share in the joy of helping the Christians in Jerusalem. That's generosity. They had very little and they gave more than they should have. That's generosity. Generosity isn't in how big the gift is. It's in your heart. It's in your attitude. Yeah, for some people, R1,000 is generous. It's very generous. For others, R1,000 is really not generous at all. Because it's just like, you know, I've got that lying around. Or whatever. we need to remember that generosity isn't about having a lot and giving a lot. It's about your heart and wanting to be a blessing. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Now the brackets are mine in this verse, okay? I put the brackets in. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly or stingily will also reap sparingly or stingily. He who sows bountifully or generously will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver more than a big giver. Now this is saying, you give, you, There's no law to say this is how much you must give. You need to, out of your own heart, prepare and say this is what I want to give, and then you give of that. And this is saying that you should give you should give generously, but you should also give joyfully. God prefers someone someone's gift, which is joyfully given, more than He prefers someone who just gives a lot out of a bad heart. It's not going to do you any good. It'll do me good if you give, but it's not going to do you good. Okay, it's going to do the ministry good, but it's not going to do you good. It goes on verse 8, and it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always, not only when you have a lot, but also in your lack, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." So when we give generously, it declares that we're trusting that God is our provider, and He does provide. He does provide. Okay? So, most of us don't think about where's the real attack coming from. You know, when things start to go wrong, we start to focus on what's going wrong, and we try and deal with the thing that we see, not what's going on behind it. We need to know that the battle is spiritual. It's not natural. Okay, so you won't always see the root, you'll only see the fruit, and you've actually got to, in prayer or through the Word, discover what is going on here. Okay? The spiritual problem manifests in the physical. The spiritual problem manifests in the physical. So our only hope of victory is to fight the spiritual battle with the spiritual weapons that God gives us. Okay? He's already given you these weapons. They belong to you, so you don't have to try and achieve them or deserve them. They're yours, but you've got to know what they are, and you've got to take hold of them. The problem is, for most Christians, and we'll look at it in a moment, is that we don't know what we've got. And so we don't know what we can use, and we don't know what we should do or what we shouldn't do, and we kind of just run around like a headless chicken. Because we don't know, we don't have a clue. Okay? So, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." What this is saying, the first key to reigning in life with regard to the spiritual battle and being ready for the spiritual battle and being victorious in this battle is stop trying to be strong. Stop trying to be strong. I heard someone say it this week. If it was you, I'm sorry, I can't remember who said it to me. But someone said to me, you know, I suppose in these challenging situations and circumstances, I just have to be strong. No, you do not have to try, just have to be strong. Because the Scripture says to you, be strong in the Lord. Which means you're relying on His strength, you're relying on His provision, you're relying on His ability, you're not relying on your own wisdom, on your own good looks, on your own ability and talents and whatever. You're relying on Him. Okay? So we need to give up trying to be strong no matter how strong we are, and we need to start trusting in and relying on the Lord for our strength. Because we're told to be strong in the Lord. Okay? True strength is found in Christ and flows from Christ. Period. Okay? You can only be truly strong when you're strong in the Lord. Romans 11 verse 6. "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." It all comes down to this question. Okay? Are you trusting in God and His grace, His empowering, His undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor? Or are you trusting in yourself and your works, and your goodness, in your holiness, in your giving, in your whatever? Are you trusting in self, or are you trusting in God? Are you strong in yourself, or are you strong in the Lord? Okay, you need to answer that question. It's easy to say that you trust in God for salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says, you're saved by grace through faith. Okay? It's easy to trust God for salvation because we know we can't save ourselves. But the problem is, for most Christians, is that we know that, but then we live our Christian lives and we start walking in Christ or living in Christ according to our works and our ability and not according to His. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, "As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, now walk ye in Him." So the same way you receive Jesus is the same way you live your Christian life, which is by grace through faith, believing in what He's done for you and provided for you. Which means you've got to trust in Him. You've got to rely on Him. You cannot earn or deserve the blessing of God. You're trusting God for healing. You cannot deserve healing ever. It's a gift. You cannot deserve provision. It's a gift. You cannot deserve a miracle. It's a gift. It's by grace. It's undeserved. Okay? And as soon as you start trying to deserve it, you nullify grace and it's never going to work. You can only be strong in yourself for so long. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We often feel like we have to be strong in difficult times, or that our success is dependent on how strong we are. But as long as you're trying to be strong in and of yourself, your success will always be short-lived. As long as you're trying to get victory over that sin or trying to whatever, you're gonna do it probably good for a bit of time, but it's not gonna be able to go past a certain level. At some point, you will get tired and you will fail. You hold your breath underwater for an hour. I'm not encouraging you to go and try and do that in the power of the Lord, but what I'm saying, I'm trying to show you that you have limitations. Okay, you can't do everything. You try and stay awake for 3 weeks. You know, you're not going to function properly. Okay, you need to do things in the power of the Lord. Okay, people need to look at your life and say, how do you do what you do? And then you can say, it can only be God. It has to be supernatural. If it's not supernatural, it's superficial. Now, people need, you should be able to look at your life as a believer, and you're just experiencing the goodness of God in so many ways that they go like, why does everything go right for you? And why are so many good things happening to you? And you go, well, it can only be God. And because you can't explain it. If you can explain it, you haven't experienced God's grace fully in your life yet. So the power to reign in life can only come from the Lord. Success in the Christian life is about ceasing from your own efforts and trusting in Jesus. It's simple. Just trust in Jesus in everything, not in your ability. So, we're going to look at one piece of armor this evening, and then we'll look at the rest another evening. Okay? Or next week we'll move on from there. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, which means schemes, of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. After that, how you should take up the belt of truth. Okay? I don't have that in my notes. But it goes on from there, and the first part is the belt of truth, which is speaking about the Word. Okay? And we'll get to that in a moment. But first of all, it says there that you need to put on the whole armor of God. This is awesome. Okay? Just listen to this. The whole armor of God. God didn't just give you armor. He gave you His armor. And as we go through each bit of armor, you're going to be amazed. It's His truth, not your truth. You should be truthful, you should speak the truth, but what's firmly fitted around your waist is His truth. It's breastplate of righteousness. Isn't your righteousness, it's not your goodness, it's not your ability to live a good life, it's His righteousness, it's His armor. It's His sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's not your sword of the Spirit. It's His shield of faith. It's not yours. Which makes it the battle effortless if you think about it. All you need to do is make sure that you just speak like God and act like God in the armor. Because now picture me in the armor of, in some Roman armor, okay, for a moment. Some of you already pictured it. Now picture me in this nice shiny armor and everything. You know, it's like this. You, if it said armor of God on it and you knew that this was God's armor, you wouldn't see Shane, you would see God's armor, you would think I'm God. You know? Until maybe I speak some doubt or unbelief or I act contrary to the Word of God, then the devil knows, hey, this isn't God. And that's what most of our problem is. We open our mouths, we speak our unbelief, and then the devil knows that's not God. But if you're in God's armor, the devil sees God. You know, when I had my bachelor's before my wedding, They dressed me as a Roman soldier. So I had this helmet like this, and they thought it was very funny, and I just shut my mouth and didn't say a word, because I was very confident going out in the streets and wherever we went, I can't remember, collecting money and doing funny things, because nobody had a clue who I was. You know, I came into contact with so many people I know, and none of them knew who I was, and I didn't say a word. When I did everybody else's bachelor's, I made sure that their faces were open, and I didn't tell them why, because I had learned from my experience. Experience is a good teacher, it's not the only teacher. So, some of you can learn from that too. I shouldn't have maybe given that out, eh, Yoni? So anyway, so you know, when we're operating in His power and in His armor, the devil doesn't see you, he sees God, which is really, really good. So we need to be put on the whole armor of God if we want to reign in life. Being saved is not enough. Okay? Being saved is not enough. Yes, you can, you will go and be with the Lord one day when you die, but if you want to reign in this life, you need to know a few things. You need to take advantage of everything the Lord has given you. Some people think, you know, the helmet of salvation. Let me put it on. And they don't know anything about righteousness. A lot of Christians don't know anything about righteousness. Right standing with God, being right before God. You know, that's why one of the things we focus on hugely, because that's key to your maturity as a believer. Understanding that your righteousness isn't according to your works and what you do, it's according to what Jesus has done, and He has made you righteous. You aren't righteous because you do something. You're righteous because you believe something. And most Christians don't believe that. So they're running around without the breastplate of righteousness, and I'm jumping ahead, which is protecting their heart. Okay? But the belt of truth. Let's get back there. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. Although we're living in a physical world, we're in a spiritual battle. Scripture shows us time and time again that we're in the spiritual battle, and yet many believers are dominated by the physical and not the spiritual. Now just think about it for a moment. You shouldn't be dominated by what you're experiencing. You should be dominated by the Spirit. You should be dominated by the Word of God, not by what you're experiencing. There's a great song which says, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I experience. I'm only moved by the Word of God. That should be our reality. Okay, we need to be dominated by that. But, you know, the only way to be able to stand in the day of evil and against any attack of the devil is to rely on God's strength and not our own, and to put on the whole armor of God. Okay? The whole armor of God, not just some of it. Now, it's important for me to say this, and some of you will know why, because I'm speaking to you. We are not talking about some weird spiritual ritual that you go through every morning. I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. Click. I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Click. I'm putting on the shoes. Click. I'm putting on, taking up my sword. Click. I'm taking up my shield of faith. And now I'm ready for the day. I used to do that. You know, a lot of people do that. I'm putting on, I forgot my belt. See, you're going to forget something. The belt holds everything together. So, The point is that it's not some kind of weird spiritual ritual you have to go through every day or a couple times a day. It's basically that you have to understand what it's symbolic. Understand what the armor is symbolic of. So, like the sword of the Spirit, I mean not the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, sorry, as an example, is the belt of truth. It's representing God's Word to say that we should be full of the Word, but the Word should be what surrounds us. The Word is what, you know, holds everything together. Even though Colossians says that God sustains the universe with His Word. So the Word is vital. The Word is vital for your effectiveness as a Christian and for your survival as a believer in this world. If you want to reign in life and you don't know the Word, you're going to fail completely. Okay? So, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because the devil is strong, not because he's clever, but because of a lack of knowledge. If you're perishing in any area of your life, it's because you don't know something. And for the believer, it's because you don't know God's Word. You don't know what He's given you and you don't know who you are. And so it's vital that you get into the Word. It's vital that you get established in truth. Okay? So, you know, saying, the old saying of what you don't know won't hurt you is completely wrong in this case. What you don't know is what's causing you to perish. What you don't know is actually killing you. Okay? And so if you don't want perishing in any area of your life, get into the Word and discover the truth, because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Deliverance won't make you free. Knowing the truth shall make you free. Deliverance might help, but what has long-lasting freedom is only found in being established in the truth and coming to know the truth of the Word. So if you want to reign in life and experience the abundant life in Christ, then you need to live by faith. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, let's read it. It says, but the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous, that term is referring to the believer, because the believer is the righteous. Now we'll look at that another time. But every single believer is the righteous. And this scripture and many others say that the righteous shall live by faith. And so you need to be in faith. You need to be established in faith, in the faith. Okay? It's not automatic. It won't happen by accident. You will, and the good news is that faith should be natural. It shouldn't be something that you have to even be conscious of. Okay, now, this goes contrary to what a lot of people teach about faith, because faith is the focus, but faith shouldn't be the focus. Jesus should be. As you focus on Jesus, faith will rise up in your heart. Okay, so the more and more you'll live more and more by faith, the more and more you dig into the Word, and you grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Word, because Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want more, you want to be stronger in your faith, get more into the Word of God. Get more established in the Word of God. If you don't want to live by faith and you don't want to be victorious, stay away from the Word. I'm glad I didn't get an amen on that one. Look at the next translation of that. It says in the easy to read version, so faith comes by hearing the good news, and the people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ. If you look at the context of Romans chapter 10, the Word of God, it's referring to the gospel. So it's not saying that you'll start to operate in this in strong faith because you've studied the book of Job and Psalms. Now that you can get a lot of good out of that. I've taught through the book of Ruth, which is in the Old Testament, and shown how you can discover Christ's love for you through the book of Ruth. Jesus is revealed through the Old Testament. It's awesome. But faith comes by hearing the gospel. What Jesus has done for you and who you are as a result of that. And so you need to focus on what Jesus has done for you, then faith rises up in your heart. Then you'll start to develop strong faith. It's not just any part of the Bible, it's the gospel. Faith comes by hearing the gospel. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, we must never stop looking to Jesus. He is the leader of our faith and He is the one who makes our faith complete. Another translation says that He is the perfecter of our faith. You want perfect faith, you want complete faith, focus on Jesus. Don't focus on your personal holiness, don't focus on your fasting, don't focus on what you're doing, focus on what Jesus has done for you, and faith will rise up in your heart. Okay, and you'll only be able to focus on what Jesus has done for you by focusing on the Word, the belt of truth. You don't have this firmly clicked in your waist, then everything's going to fall apart. A lot of Christians are engaging in spiritual battles and they haven't got a clue because they don't know anything in the Word. Okay? How do I know that? You just talk to them. They open their mouth and stuff comes out which isn't Word. So, you cannot be a successful Christian without being full of God's Word. Nowhere in the Bible are you told to read the Bible. You're told to study the Bible. Look at the next verse. 2 Timothy 2 verse 5. Study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to rightly divide the word of truth, which is to be a student of the Word. Then you can go ice skating. No, I'm joking. Already he's excluded us from that. If you want to be an effective believer, you want to reign in life, you want to be victorious, you want to live the abundant life, you've got to be established in the Word. You've got to know the Word. You've got to know the Gospel. You've got to know what Jesus has done for you. You've got to focus on that. As you do, your heart's going to overflow with faith. Faith won't be something you're trying to achieve. It will be natural. If you're struggling with faith and you're in unbelief, because you're not in the Word. Period. There's no exception. You might be reading the Bible, but maybe you're not taking it to heart or something. Then you're not thinking about what you're reading. You're not seeing Jesus and what He's done for you. So if you want to win and you want to reign in life, you need to know a few things. Okay, number one, you've got to know that you're in a spiritual battle and that you need to use all the weapons and armory that God has given you. Okay, number one, the belt of truth. You've got to be established in the Word, and you've got to be full of the Word. Listen to this. This will make a good fridge magnet. Defeat is guaranteed if you are not full of the Word. Defeat is guaranteed if you are not full of the Word. And if you want to stop trusting in self and start trusting in Jesus and start trusting in the Lord and being strong in His power, then it's only going to come once you're in the Word. So I trust that some of you are challenged to get more into the Word. I trust that you're stirred up, that you want to now become a student of the Word. You want to study the Word. You know, it might not be easy just to go, okay, I'm going to start studying the Word. Most people, we don't know where to start. That's why we've got a whole table full of resources, and most of them are free. The ones that are for sale, if you don't want to pay for them for whatever reason, take it. It's fine. We want to bless you more than we want your money. You need it more than we need the money. Okay? So go then, look, there's Rooted. That'll get you established in the essentials of the grace life. Okay? There's devotionals that will help you get established. We're sending out the emails every day, except for Sunday, on Reign in Life devotionals, digging into the Word. We've got a whole bunch of teachings on audio there. There's many resources that we make available to you. And you know what I find is when I listen to good teaching and when I'm getting into the Word, it makes me, listening to good Word, it makes me want to study the Word more. So if you don't feel like studying the Word right now, then you need to change your feelings. But what helps that is that you start listening to good teachings and it stirs you up to want to go deeper. Amen. Father, I want to thank you that you have set us up for victory. We do not have to live in defeat. You have set us up for victory, and you have given us everything we need for life and for godliness. Everything. The problem is we perish because we don't know. So I pray that every single one of us would just be stirred up and challenged to come to know you more, to come to know what you've done for us, to dig deeper into the Scripture, to discover those things. Thank you, Father.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.